From the second floor mezzanine of the new Federal Reserve Building on Constitution Avenue between 20th and 21st Streets in Washington, D.C., Columbia's Department of Public Affairs presents, by transcription, the ceremonies incidental to the official dedication of this beautiful new building, which today will be proclaimed the home of the Federal Reserve Board. The official dedication will be made by the President of the United States. The President will be introduced by the Honorable Mariner Eccles, Chairman of the Federal Reserve Bank Board. Facing south on Constitution Avenue, the building of the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System occupies the square extending north between 20th and 21st Streets to C Street and commands an unobstructed view of the Mall and West Potomac Park, the Lincoln Memorial, the Potomac River, the Memorial Bridge, and the Virginia Shore just beyond. The building forms a part of a group along the north side of Constitution Avenue, composed of buildings of the Pan-American Union, the Public Health Service, the Federal Reserve, the National Academy of Sciences, and the American Pharmaceutical Association. Since its organization in 1914, the Federal Reserve Board has occupied quarters in the Treasury Building and space in various privately owned office buildings. On June 19, 1934, Congress authorized the board to acquire a building site in the District of Columbia and to construct a building suitable and adequate in its judgment for its purposes. A careful survey resulted in the selection of the present site, which was approved by the National Capital Park and Planning Commission, by the Secretary of the Interior, who recommended it to the President, and by the President himself. Title was transferred to the board by the Secretary of the Treasury on January 22nd, 1935. Ladies and gentlemen, the ceremonies, of course, await only the arrival of the President of the United States. We are situated, as we told you just a moment ago, on the second floor mezzanine of this beautiful new building, and we can tell now, of course, by the rising of the crowd, by the gathering of photographers, and by Hail to the Chief, which you can hear perhaps in the distance, that the President of the United States is now arriving. Searchlights on the podium now, awaiting the President. The crowd is tense and expectant as the chief executive comes out of the elevator, which has led him directly to the second floor mezzanine, and pauses just a moment, as is usual with him, for the press photographers who are standing around on chairs in the elevator entrance and who are now backing up the aisle, making way for the President so that he may reach the podium and address the large gathering here. The guests are jammed very, very, very tightly here. There's scarcely room to move or breathe even. And they are many and distinguished. The President now is coming up the very, very narrow aisle, nodding and smiling to his friends. He's exchanging a few words now with the chairman of the board. And he is just about to come up to the podium. The crowd in the first floor mezzanine, right in the entrance of the building, and there's quite a large crowd. Some 300 or 400 people, it's packed to capacity, have seen the President now and are applauding him vociferously, as you can hear. The President stands a moment longer, looking at the building, examining the interior of this beautiful place.
Will be pronounced by the Reverend James Shira Montgomery.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, was the Honorable Mariner Eccles.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. We tarry this brief moment in recognition of thine infinitude, which is above all and over all and blessed forevermore. Look upon our country, gracious God, And may these material aspects of our republic only symbolize happy homes, a contented citizenship, and a country at peace with all the world. Look thou with divine favor upon our president, and upon all of his counselors, and upon every citizen of this great land that we love to call our home. God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving help among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, even our own God, shall bless him, and all of the ends of the earth shall fear him. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
I have the honor to present the President of the United States.
Members of the board and of the staff, ladies and gentlemen, you have come here this afternoon for something more than a mere formality. This structure is worthy to rank among the foremost of the capital's architectural developments. And you and I have gathered here to pay tribute to the beauty and to the dignity of line and form wrought by those who conceived and executed this building. But I think that we are conscious of a larger meaning in this brief ceremony, conscious of the role that the Federal Reserve plays in the broad purpose which this government must serve. That purpose is to gain for all of our people the greatest attainable measure of economic well-being, the largest degree of economic security and stability. To advance the country towards this goal is the real mission of the Federal Reserve System. It cannot be attained by that system alone, but neither can it be reached without the proper functioning of our monetary and credit machinery. That machinery must be steadily perfected and coordinated with all the other instruments of government in order to promote the most productive utilization of our human and material resources. Only in that way can we hope to achieve and maintain an enduring prosperity free from the disastrous extremes of booms and depressions. Only in that way can our economic system and our democratic institutions endure hand in hand. Nearly a quarter of a century has passed since the Federal Reserve System was established. Its creation out of the nation's banking experience from the beginning of the Republic was due to the statesmanship of President Woodrow Wilson. And to the courageous leadership in the Congress for which the senior senator from Virginia, Carter Glass, will always deserve the nation's gratitude. And I think that it is fitting that President Wilson's portrait in bronze should have the place of honor in the main entrance to this building. It is appropriate that the words inscribed under it should be taken from his first inaugural address. Let me quote them. We shall deal with our economic system as it is and as it may be modified, not as it might be if we had a clean sheet of paper to write upon. And step by step, we shall make it what it should be. Those penetrating words admirably apply to our banking system, which must be constantly alert to changing conditions in order that it may be prepared to adapt itself to the growing and the changing needs of our people in their daily life and work. The Federal Reserve System, as it was originally established, was adapted to the pre-war world and brought about a great improvement in the money system. Steps were taken, as we remember, in 1917 to adapt it to the urgent necessities of a war-ridden world, in mobilizing the country's gold reserves and in facilitating the government's vast financing operations. The reserve system performed a vital role in the winning of that war. It is clear now, in retrospect, that if further changes to meet post-war conditions had been made in our banking system in the 1920s, it would have been in a far better position to moderate the forces that brought about the Great Depression. But from the end of the war until we were in the midst of economic collapse a decade later, no changes were made in the banking structure to make it function more effectively in the public interest. And since that time, the nation has done much to improve this banking system of ours. It must continue step by step to make the banking system what it should be. We must not complacently suppose that we have achieved perfection. We have provided for the insurance of deposits for the benefit of the great mass of small depositors. And by the Banking and Security Exchange Acts of 1933 and 34 and 35, the Federal Reserve System was given increased power to improve banking conditions and to aid the government in combating practices which had proved themselves evil in their results. Those powers have been concentrated to a greater degree than before in a single public body, so that they can be used promptly and effectively in accordance with the changing needs of the country. 1937 is not 1913. Nor do we want to turn the hands of the clock back. The Federal Reserve System, tested by nearly a quarter of a century of operation, is a public institution capable of adaptation to the future, as it has been to past needs and past conditions. It is a piece of machinery vital to the nation's steady progress, a progress toward the goal of a sounder banking system capable of contributing its full share to lasting economic progress and well-being. The Board of Governors, whose building we are dedicating today, was reconstituted by the Banking Act of 1935. To this public body, the Congress has entrusted broad powers which enable it to affect the volume and the cost of money, thus exerting a powerful influence upon the expansion and the contraction in the flow of money through the channels of agriculture and trade and industry. In this way, much can be done towards the maintenance of more stable employment, and much can be done in achieving greater stability of the true value of the dollar. By their nature, these important powers are of public concern, and the responsibility for their exercise is properly vested in a public body. Much as they may contribute to the country's progress, monetary powers possess no peculiar or exclusive magic. They are not omnipotent. To be effective in performing their functions, They must be closely coordinated with the other major powers and policies of government which influence the country's economic life from year to year. So the Federal Reserve System, as it exists today, is better adapted than ever before to play its part in common with the other instrumentalities of government in the attainment of that increasing well-being for all of our people, which is the fundamental objective of all our government. I dedicate this building today to progress, toward the ideal of an America in which every worker will be able to provide his family at all times with an ever-rising standard of American comfort.